Welcome to the Tripod, where we break down every NFL game, give you our best bets and reasons why. It's the NFL divisional round of the playoffs, the best eight teams in football. Last week was pretty epic with the six wildcard weekend matchups. Disappointing results on the best bets, 3-4 overall. I didn't feel I was that far off the mark. We'll have a quick look back at last weekend's results. So I'll just bring it up here. The first game, the Colts went down 24-27, 3-point loss to the Bills. I think the Bills were very lucky to get out of that one. I had the Colts in the first half, team total over, and plus 6.5 points, and they both did win, and I think the Colts were definitely the right side. They're unlucky, shot themselves in the foot a bit in that game. Next game, I got completely wrong. The Rams beat the Seahawks 30-20, and I was laying the 3 with the Seahawks and had the first half under 21. Now, there was only 3 points 20 minutes into that match, and then there was a 27 points to close out the second quarter. But what changed that game was a pick six thrown by Russell Wilson in a game where the Rams started Wolford. He then got injured. They were up 3-0. You thought, well, now Jared Goff's got to come out here with a bum thumb on the road against the Seahawks. But it didn't matter. Like, the Rams did nothing on offense, which is crazy to say in a game they scored 30. They really did very little on offense. And yet the Seahawks, my big takeaway was they just could not move the ball at all, apart from one bomb that they connected with Metcalf and a backdoor late TD when they're down 17. So how much of that was the Seahawks' really disappointing inept performance, and how much was that an amazing defensive masterpiece by the Rams? That's the question. Aaron Donald came out of the game with a rib injury as well. So as we look forward to this week, it's the big question mark on the Rams is how good can their defense go at Lambeau Field, and I'll talk about that in a minute. The Buccaneers were too good. Pretty comfortable win over the Washington professional football team, as they call themselves. Look, 31-23, and my best bet was Washington under 17.5, and that doesn't win, and I basically got Heineke'd. Didn't think Washington could move the ball effectively. Look at that one amazing scramble play he makes. I think it's 3rd and 6, just outside the 20, and he gets to the pylon and scores, and they end up just, you know, again, playing from behind the whole game. Washington just gets above that team total. And as I say, Buccaneers fairly comfortable, fairly comprehensive win, although Washington did make a game of it. Then we had the Ravens playing the Titans, and I did win the best bet on this one with the Ravens -3. The Ravens won 20-13 after the Titans shot out to a 10-0 lead, and it's just crazy how the Ravens defense really stepped up second half, just never let Derrick Henry get a running start, just completely shut down the Titans. And saying that, it's a close game. The Titans make a really curious decision to punt the ball on a 4th and 2 in plus territory late in the game. They do end up getting the ball back with a chance to drive and tie the game. Just can't get it done. Another key moment in this game was an epic play by Lamar when the pocket broke down and he scrambles for, I think, a 50-yard TD. That's the kind of things he can do, and that's what makes the Ravens matchup this week against the Bills so intriguing. So we did win the best bet there. Then Bears-Saints. I said I would lean to the Saints, but I thought the line was a little high. Well, in the end, they covered the game by 12. Interesting one because the Bears scored on the final play, and there was places where the line was 11.5, but the new rule is if the extra point can't affect the result and the score happens on the final play of the game, you don't kick it, or you don't even have the attempt. So that would have been a bad beat if you had plus 11, plus 11.5. Although you could have also laid, I think, under 10 if you really did like the Saints. Look, this game could have been closer too. I didn't think the Saints were that impressive. I just thought the Bears just killed themselves. Dropped a certain TD at one point. I think missed a field goal. Just couldn't get it done. But again, you got to give some credit to the Saints defense too. And then a game that would have decided whether we won our Wild World Bet of the Week. It would have decided whether we had a winning week on best bets, because I needed the Steelers to go under 24 to win the $3.50 nice Wild World Bet of the Week. Needed them under 27.5 for the best bet. They had 0 points in the first 28 minutes of the game. Problem was, they're down 28 points. Just an absolute disaster. And I was trying to explain to people going, oh, that's awesome. Steelers have 0 after the first quarter. Oh, they got 0. You know, we're nearly at halftime. And I was going, this is not great. When they're down this far, the whole game just changes. The first play of the game, snap over Roethlisberger's head. Browns recover the ball in the end zone, the touchdown, and it was just like an absolute blitz. The Browns team that, you know, didn't have the coach or other key staff and players there for COVID, people questioning whether they'd be able to compete, they absolutely just jumped on the Steelers. And like I was trying to explain to people, like, you'd rather the Steelers be up 10-7 or, you know, even 13-10 or something at halftime than down 35-7 35-10, I think they got that late field goal, because you just throw caution to the wind, guns go blazing, and they end up losing the game 48-37, but they never really had a chance once they were down so far. I know they got it within 12 in the fourth quarter, but really impressive by the Browns. We said that, you know, they've got these amazing running backs, and they do have a defense that can create plays, create pressure, and get turnovers. They certainly showcased everything they can do, but it was a shocker of a performance by the Steelers, a team that when you look back on their season, you'd argue whether they were frauds. And again, that's an annoying one for me, because I really liked the Browns, would have played them if not for the kind of COVID news. And I did my play on Steelers under, essentially was a play on the Browns. But you're on the right side. But if you don't find the right market to take advantage of the way you think the game's going to play out, and I certainly didn't see bloody 80 plus points being scored in that game. So I take the L on that one. Let's get into this week's games. And the first one is the Rams at the Packers. So the Packers got that one bye, and the Rams, we said, were comprehensive over the Seahawks. And I'm taking the Packers, -6.5, $2 on Top Sport. And simply for me, I really feel this Green Bay Packers team, led by Aaron Rodgers, has the eye of the tiger. They truly believe they're on a path to the Super Bowl with a big chance to get another Super Bowl ring for Aaron Rodgers and for the franchise. And I know that the Chiefs are going to probably stand in their way, but it is shaping up to be a Chiefs-Packers Super Bowl, as obvious as that kind of looks. These two teams just seem to be on another level. And with the Rams, a lot of people are saying it's the best defense in the league. And if you wanted to take the +6.5, or you'd probably be able to grab a 7 if you liked the Rams. It doesn't appeal to me. I question how great the defense is. Certainly, it's top 5. But if you look a little bit deeper into their schedule, you just find a lot of the games that the Rams played this year, they seem to get lucky playing a team that had their quarterback out or had like a new quarterback starting. An example of that's week 17, where they play Arizona, but Kyler Murray couldn't go. They did shut down the Seahawks, but I wonder if there's a matchup edge there. I mean, in theory, they've got the defensive line that can pressure Rodgers without blitzing and potentially stifle him, but off a bye, I just think he's in such a groove, and I think their defense shuts down the Rams' offense. We don't know who's starting at quarterback for the Rams. Whichever way they go, both quarterbacks are carrying injuries, and their offense, I don't think, is that reliable. So I don't feel it's that big of a steep of a line to lay the -6.5 with the Packers at home. Although I will say one more thing. If there was another trend I took out of wildcard weekend, none of the road teams struggled that badly. I think not every road team covered, but I do think there is something to be said for non-full stadiums. These teams don't get as rattled. They can do what they want to do, because usually in past years, obviously, the intensity and the atmosphere is just amplified. Whereas these games, they've either got no crowd or a limited crowd. It does give the road team that little bit more of a chance. So if that's a trend that you really are buying into and you're thinking there's value on the road, maybe you're not going to follow any of my best bets with teams at home. But I just think the Packers are on a bit of a different level to the Rams. And as smart as a coach as the Rams have with McVay, I think if anything, he plays more risky. He's going to be willing to vary this game up, go for it on fourth downs, maybe even a trick shot on special teams. And that gives the Rams a chance to win, which is what they want. But it also could go the other way, and you get stopped on a fourth and short, and all of a sudden the game gets ugly. Because what you'll find is with McVay, he knows when he's an underdog, he goes for it. And that's why games often go over more so when the Rams are down and when they're an underdog, because they know they're going to take more chances. Next game, the Ravens are at the Bills. This should be an epic one as well, because before the season, the Ravens were equal favorites with the Chiefs to win the Super Bowl. So it was the Ravens that were seen as basically the team to beat in the AFC. But the Bills have emerged as a form side in the AFC. Notwithstanding last week, I did say, and I stand by the fact, they got quite lucky in their win against the Colts. Ravens have hit some form as well. They had a loss, I think it was to the Steelers, that dropped them to 6-5 on the year. They essentially had to run the gauntlet and win the final five games of the season to make sure they made the playoffs. They even had to win in week 17 to get in. They did that. Nice win against the Titans, although I think the Titans were a hit and miss side, and I think the Titans were a little bit disappointing last week. And it just questioned, like, Lamar, he hasn't won a playoff game. We know what he's capable of, or certainly poses such a big threat on the ground. Interestingly, the Bills are not that stout against the rush, so you see this as a bad matchup. Now, throw into into the mix as well. This game is Saturday night in the middle of winter with snow predicted in Buffalo. So on one hand, you definitely think that's going to favor the team that prefers to keep the ball on the ground and have success rushing the football, which is the Ravens, whereas the Bills this year preferred to throw. But then again, I do think it favors the home team that just has a bit more familiarity with the conditions. Lamar said he's never played in the snow and doesn't really want to. And another thing about the Bills not being great against the rush, I almost feel like they're a smart team and it's a conscious choice to allow teams to get a bit more on the ground, because you know that the scarier stuff and the more efficient offense these days is throwing the football. But I think if the Browns make a bit more of a conscious effort to stop the run, I don't know if Lamar can make the throws where I think Josh Allen can. And Josh Allen can run the ball a little bit as well. I think that's underrated. The Bills with Singletary and whether Zach Moss can go, can run the ball a little bit. And then Stephon Diggs, I think, is the X factor. As well as on defensive side, since Tre'Davious White has joined back into this team, he adds another dimension to their defense. I'm taking the Bills -2.5. Let me bring it up here. $1.90 on TopSport. Next game, the following day, we've got the Browns. You had that emphatic win. Remember, they hadn't even been to the playoffs for 20 years, and they come out and win as a big underdog against a Steelers team that I don't think they'd beaten Pittsburgh for about 17 or 18 years either. So they're flying high, and there's two ways to look at that. Are they overconfident and are they fat, drunk, and happy? Or do they have real mojo and real confidence in the team? Now, they are up against the Super Bowl favorites, the rested Kansas City Chiefs. Obviously, the game's in Kansas City and the line is 10. And the funny thing about the Chiefs, it kind of depends what lens you want to look at them through. Like, I gave them out before the season to win the Super Bowl, $8.50, and they've lost, like, what, one or two games all year. They kind of cruised through the whole year, and they've had so many games this year. In fact, if you look at their last 7 or 8 games, they have not actually covered the spread. Although, I will say, they did win a game in New Orleans where they won by 3, and for the pod, we played one of the available -2.5s, but the consensus spread on that was a 3. So, in, you know, if you're looking at it more in a meta sense, the closing line's 3, that's a push. And the other 7 games of their last 8, they did not cover the line, they lost. So, are we making excuses for the Chiefs? Like, a really, truly great dominant team blows a few sides out, and the Chiefs kind of haven't done that. And me, you know, looking very favorably at the Chiefs, I keep saying, they're doing enough to win. They're sleepwalking, you know. They're down 10-0 to Miami. Now they turn it on and then they're up 30-10. Or, yeah, they only beat Tampa Bay by 3, but they were up like 27-7 early in that game and then took their foot off the gas. They won a game by 6 against Denver, if I recall, but they seem to just be mucking around all game and then just tighten the screws in the fourth quarter. So it's how you look at it. If you want to look at it and say they've had a lot of close wins this year, they're not as great as people think, then you probably want to take the +10 with the Browns. But if you're going to look at it and say, well, this team's just been waiting for the playoffs. They knew they were pretty much going to be here. And when I gave them out to win the Super Bowl at the start of the year, I just was almost sure that they'd at least get to the AFC title game. I certainly expect them to do that. I've got them in a multi coming up. I'd play the $1.20 for them to win. I think rested. I think, like, you get the A-plus playbook out of Andy Reid, who's a mad scientist off a bye. And his team's nice and rested. I don't think they'll be rusty. I think they learned the lessons of last year having a bye and falling down 24-0 to Houston. And we know they still came back and won that. So with the Browns, still not quite a complete roster. I think there's holes in their defense. I don't see how they're going to be able to stop the Chiefs. So the only way the Browns win this game, I think they've got to be scoring in the 30s. And I question whether they're going to be able to do that. So I don't have a play on the line or the total. It's obviously a very high total, but the Chiefs are going to score a ton and the Browns are going to need to keep up, and the Browns are likely going to be playing from behind, and then Baker Mayfield playing from behind is dangerous because he's going to be slinging it around, and then you can get turnovers, you can get high variance plays, which can lead to an over as well. But no best bet, but I do think the Chiefs get a win there and host the AFC title game next weekend. And finally, another really good one, the Bucks are at the Saints, so we have two all-time, you know, no question, Hall of Fame quarterbacks, obviously, with Tom Brady being still with the resume as the greatest quarterback of all time, 42 years of age, coming into this division, having a pretty good year, you know, exceeding expectations if you look at how many games the Bucs were expected to win. Another great year for the Saints too. Obviously, just couldn't quite get that bye with the new structure of the playoffs, but Still, when you consider that Drew Brees missed 5 or 6 games with a pretty serious injury, like, this team stayed afloat with a great defense, great coaching on both sides of the ball, great special teams, and playmakers that I feel we haven't even seen the best of yet. Michael Thomas has had a very quiet year that could change this week when they could really need him. And Alvin Kamara, who missed a game for COVID and I thought had a quiet 99 yards for the Saints last week, where I don't feel they were really pushed that hard by the Bears because the Bears own ineptitude in key moments. Home field advantage, what is it worth? You know, again, this is a stadium that would have been absolutely rocking, but now with limited crowd, you just wonder, it allows Tom Brady to, you know, make his checks, make his audibles and command the offense a bit more than he would have been able to typically on the road. If we look at this matchup, the Saints beat the Bucks in week 1. I thought that game was actually reasonably close, and you can't read too much into a week 1 game, Brady's first ever game, and you know they brought in a lot of new guys, Gronk as well, Fournette, but the Bucks had a few turnovers in that one, but the one that was telling was when they met a couple months later and the Saints were up like 38-0 on them, just absolutely dismantled them. So do you read into that the Saints have a true matchup edge, that they just have the wood over the Bucks, or was it just one of those games that snowballed? I'm not a big believer that you look at what the previous matchup was and go the same way. But in saying that, I still just think that the Saints are overall the more complete team, the better team. I know that Drew Brees has his limitations, but I think they make up for that with their creativity on offense. I think the most scary player on the field is Alvin Kamara, who can make things happen out of nothing. And then you got Michael Thomas. Whereas for the Buccaneers, yeah, sure, they've signed Antonio Brown, Godwin's great, Evans is great, but has had his injuries. But there's no one on that offense for Tampa Bay that truly scares me. Ronald Jones, who's been their best running back all year, may not even play. And while Fournette was good last week, he hasn't been as good as Jones this year. And defensively, the Bucs do have a really good defense. They can certainly get after Drew Brees, but vice versa, the Saints have a defense that can shut down the Bucs, shut down their wide receivers. So the total seems a bit high to me when I've got two defenses that I really trust and two like very old QBs. But I just feel with both of these teams getting the two easiest matchups in wildcard weekend, you know, they're both close to double-digit favorites. I just feel they might have kept their cards close to their chest, not really shown everything they can do. Whereas this game, I feel, is you're going to get all in. You're going to get everything that both sides have got. You're going to get a more aggressive nature, I think, on defense to try and force turnovers. And on offense, I think you get more aggressive with your play calling as well. And that could generate points and we could get a bit more of a shootout, even though both teams have good defenses. What I ultimately land on is taking the Saints. So I think in a close game, they have the superstar playmakers that can be the difference. And I'm looking at a guy like Alvin Kamara that can create a play there. There should have been a loss of yardage and he turns it into a first down or more, or takes it to the house. So the line is -3 with the Saints and I'm laying the -3. That is $1.93 on Unibet. And then that's going to build into my multi for the week. So all the best bets. So Green Bay -6.5. This is also on Unibet. Bills -2.5. Take the Chiefs just straight up, $1.20. And then I've just tweaked the Saints. You can take a -3, but I've taken a -2.5, $1.77, because that's such a key half point. I think $1.77 is an even more generous price. If you think about it this way, the Saints are like $1.58 to win the match, but you lay 2.5, $1.77. So 20 cents for them to not win by 1 or 2, which are like less common margins of victory. And then you know what? I got creative. I've thrown an NBA game in. So if you're listening to this, this game starts at 2 p.m. Daylight Savings Time today, Saturday, 1 p.m. for Queenslanders. And you're probably listening to this around 11 midday. So you've got an hour or two if you want to create this multi and include the NBA. And the big reason is just because if I get a fifth leg, we get the 10% boost. So otherwise, I think you're looking at a 5% boost. I'm taking the Clippers. It's the latest starting game today. Should be too good for the Sacramento Kings. And I'm even adjusting their line, giving them an extra 3.5 points, drop their head-to-head by 12 cents. But we get 3.5 points for a little bit more insurance, and we still qualify for the boost. So those are my picks. Those are my thoughts for the divisional round. Another great weekend of football. And again, for Aussies, a couple of big games on our weekend, which is tomorrow. That's when it all kicks off. Good luck with your punts. Good luck if you're interested in the Magic Millions today and you're having a punt there. Always do it responsibly. And I'll be back on Wednesday with Wide World of Punting episode 13, which will be very NFL oriented. I've got Matt O'Keefe, who shared some banger props in the NFL group, in the pod group this year, and Nettie as well, who's just delivered week in, week out, great profitable picks and insights in the NFL. So check out Whitewater Punting this week if you're interested. I'll see you there. Cheers. Lego.